Good morning and welcome to Galesburg Live. I'm Chris Poston. Every Saturday morning, we take a couple hours to welcome in special guests from local organizations and businesses that impact our community. Just after 8, we'll be talking with Sarah Yem and Michelle Batson. They're from Yem Auto Group here in Galesburg. We'll talk about how this family-owned business has been such a huge part of our community for so many years, how it got started, where they're going in the future, and more. So hope you can join us for that. But in our first hour, agriculture is one of the largest industries in our area. We're all impacted by agriculture, whether we're a producer or not. And today we have one of the most respected names in local agriculture here to talk to us about the state of the ag industry, how things are looking for 2018, and more. Please welcome the owner of Munson Hybrids here in Galesburg, Mr. John Hennenfant. John, it's great to have you back on Galesburg Live.
Chris, it's always great to be here.
We're going to talk about a lot of stuff going on in the ag industry today, and a lot of things that I know our listeners are probably have some questions, and a lot of things that people are talking about in the coffee shops.
That's right. There's a lot of things going on right now, and of course, spring is a busy time for everybody, and so it keeps them hopping this time of year.
That's right. Well, before we do that, I'd like to go back and talk about Munson Hybrids. And you said there's a couple of really important kind of milestones happening here in the next year or so.
That's right, Chris. Yeah, and our first seed crop was raised in 1934 by Carl Munson. So there's nobody around that can dispute that fact, so we're going to claim it as being fact. But that's what I was told when I first started work for the company, that 1934 was the first crop. So that means that, 85 years is coming up in 2019. So it's a big year for us.
I'll be darned. And you tell us just about your operation. What do you do? What is Munson Hybrids?
Well, Munson Hybrids is a seed company. And the easiest way that we explain it to non-farmers basically is that we grow the seed that farmers plant.
Yes.
So all of the corn that you see planted are hybrids. So we do the work of taking two unrelated seed parents, doing the pollination work, do the detasseling, and allow the one plant to pollinate the others. And then we harvest that, condition it, and that's what we sell to the farmers, so they get a hybrid seed to plant for them so they have the best production possible.
Okay. And you're doing this all here in your lab? You have labs and all?
Yes. We don't do any of the breeding because that's really a big numbers game. And there's companies like Monsanto and Syngenta and larger companies that have that established and have been doing it for years. And, it's such a big expense that we buy the rights to use those genetics from them. And we don't use the same thing as everybody else. We make our own selections. So, there is still differentiation in the marketplace. But, we rely on them. And then they also do the technology work to get the traits integrated into the genetic so that we have the smart stacks and those things that farmers want in this area. So, we do that kind of work. We do all that here locally. We can't grow all of it that we need for our customers because of there's so many selections now. That's become almost an issue in our industry is how many selections and options there are now. So we work with some other companies that also grow seed. We grow some for them. They grow some for us. So, we work together to try to maximize efficiencies as much as we can.
Absolutely. Now, you've been involved with the company for 30 years.
Yes, I started in 1987. So, I'm going through my 30th crop year on everything. Wow. And we'll start my 31st crop year on September 1st. So
now, how did you start with Munson? What were you doing?
Well, I was working on a farm down by Cameron. Okay. And that opportunity was going to go away and the gentleman died. So the farm was going to get put together with what the son was operating and wasn't really a need for me in the capacity that I had. And the previous owners, Bud and Alice Davis, were looking for somebody to come to work for them and work into the business, if that opportunity presented itself, and it did. So here we are.
Yeah. And then, of course, you and your wife, Holly, you purchased the business.
That's right, in 1999. So we're coming up on 20 years of us owning the business, which doesn't seem possible. I was doing a presentation for the Sauk Valley Community College Ag classes and talking about our history and there's a lot of parallels in that, Carl started it in 34 and he sold it in the mid-70s when Bud and Alice bought it or got control. And so then they had it from the mid-70s to the mid-90s, late 90s, and then we have control, and here we are. So, you know, there's a lot of parallels. We're a third-generation family-owned company, but no family's been related.
I see. Sure, sure. And you've made a lot of changes, grown. When you and Holly took over, there have been such huge advances
these
last 20 years.
We've done a lot of things. You know, growth is good. Sometimes it gives you more gray hair, and I've got plenty, but, you know— we've changed some things and had some opportunities come up that have been very good for us and allowed us to do that. And now we sell from really down south of Jacksonville, Illinois, to nearly up to Lake Superior.
Yeah, I thought you were up in Wisconsin and Michigan and all that. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
And you've got, how many employees do you have, John?
I think right now, full-time employees, we're getting somewhere close to 30.
Wow.
And then we have some seasonal people, of course, helping in the busy seasons, getting seed conditioned and in the bag and so on.
Right,
so I think right now, in fact, today's a payday, so there's that sucking sound, must probably what you're hearing from our bank account. But, you know, we have great employees, and without great employees, you know, as you know here at the radio station, without good people, you just wouldn't have the product that you have. So,
and lots of longevity, too. You've
that's
got people
correct.
That have been with you for a long time.
Yep, that's right. I guess I couldn't add them up, but, yeah, a lot of our key employees have been with us a number of years, and so that's a good thing, and I think bodes well for us going forward.
John Henenfent, owner of Munson Hybrids in Galesburg, is our guest in this first hour of Galesburg Live. Coming up, we'll do a recap of the 2017 growing season and take a look at what may be to come for 2018 when Galesburg Live returns on 93.7 FM at 1400 AM WGIL. Welcome back to Galesburg Live. I'm Chris Poston. Today we're featuring a couple of very well-known family-owned businesses here in the area. Just after 8 o'clock, Sarah Yem and Michelle Batson from Yem Auto Group here in Galesburg. Hope you stay tuned for that. But right now we're continuing our conversation with a great friend to WGIL in this community, owner of Munson Hybrids here in Galesburg, Mr. John Henenfent. John, again, thanks for being with us again on Galesburg Live here on WGIL.
You betcha, Chris.
Now, we were talking about kind of the history of Munson Hybrids and what you guys do. Let's talk about 2017. How was last year?
You know, 2017 was really a pretty good year. You know, the prices aren't really what the growers want. But here, you know, in the Galesburg area, we were able to get good yields.
Yeah.
And that really offset that price concern that we had. I think by and large, most growers in this area probably had a pretty decent year last year.
Yeah.
You know, they've had some marketing opportunities either early on or here recently if they had any old crop left to take advantage of that. And I think when you look at the bushels and the price, most guys should be able to hold things together pretty well.
That's
now,
right.
When you get outside of this area, especially as you get into Wisconsin, you know, they were not so fortunate. We had guys, you know, in the same general trade area that if they got it planted early, they're looking at 230 and 40 bushel corn. Mm. But there's a period there where it rained for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So some of the corn that went in, you know, the end of May was more like 180 bushel corn, and their prices aren't as good as what ours are.
Ooh.
So, you know, there's some tougher situations as you get into Wisconsin from what we're seeing.
Right. Well, you mentioned, I'd heard a friend, Jim Anderson from North & Companies, talking about how here in this area, we've had about a five-year run of just blowing the doors off the yields.
Yes, you can't think it gets better, and it seems to. And, you know, I think our industry can take some of the credit for that because the industry is just creating so many new and better hybrids all the time that we just seem to be able to maintain our high yield levels in less than what we think are ideal conditions. I mean, look back at the summer 17, and, you know, there are a few times when we thought we were just, you know, a few days away from a drought and having poor yields. And then, you know, it wasn't the ideal year you draw up when you think about great growing conditions.
Yeah.
But, boy, we're sure able to produce bushels.
Yeah. Is it that thin of a – I mean, when you said we're a couple days away from thinking – I mean, does it come down to that, just days like that?
You know, I think it used to be able to.
Yeah.
I think that now with the newer genetics and some of the technologies we have that that those days are maybe weeks. I think we feel like it's probably a lot worse than what it was. Yeah. And, you know, 2017, we had some dry periods, but we didn't have that extreme heat. And that's really the big thing. You know, you combine that drought with heat, mm-hmm. and it just takes it out of the plant so much more than the conditions we had last year.
Sure. So with this again, blowing the doors off the last 5 years, do you hear the producers out there, the farmers out there thinking, is this our year that we're going to get hit? Because 5 years is a good run.
You know, I think that that's probably in the back of their mind. But I also think that they're realizing that, you know, we have had awful good yields and we haven't had ideal conditions. So maybe these inbreds are going to protect us from that big loss.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when guys are used to 240, 260 bushel, 210 isn't going to be very good.
Yeah.
It might be really good for the year that we have, but it's not going to be what they become used to. So, you know, those expectations and meeting or exceeding those expectations may get harder because the expectations have risen because of what we've been able to do the last few years.
Absolutely. How about 2018? What are you and your team seeing out there?
You know, I think we're seeing, you know, it's kind of like the NASCAR races or Indy 500. They're all sitting at the starting gate with, you know, the engines revving and wanting to get going. Conditions don't look favorable for for planting here in the next several days anyway, not ideal, but I think we'll get to a point where some of the growers will, as long as soil conditions are fit, will be going regardless of temperature. You know, my concern is that even though it is only the, 14th of April, a lot of growers think they're late. And so that
they think
will,
they're late, really?
Well, they would like to be planting already.
Okay.
And so that means they think that they may be late. So it may entice them to want to push a little harder, get onto fields maybe before they should. So I don't think we're at that point yet. We want to plant in good conditions. The rest of the year is dictated. You have to do things at certain times. But at planting time, you have the ability to wait and do it when conditions are right. That's what we want to do at this point. Let's not push into conditions that aren't quite right.
That's right. And that's why you need the knowledgeable partner like your team at Munson Hybrids. They're out there working with your producers, your customers to
really it's that relationship that you have with your seed seller, your guys from Munson, maybe you're, you know, an advisor that you have, an agronomist or whatnot. But you know, it's kind of a, I'll say personal, but it's really, you know, growers like to get out there and get things planted. We know that early planting means bigger yields, so they're looking at potentially reducing yields the longer they wait. And so, you know, they really want to get that corn planted, because if you plant it now, kind of like the guys in Wisconsin, had they pushed earlier, got things planted sooner, it could have been a 30, 40, 50 bushel yield difference. So, you know, waiting 2 days is fine as long as you know you're going to be good then. But if you wait 2 days and then it rains for 6 weeks, you maybe should have been planting those 2 days or even 4 or 5 days before that in less than ideal conditions.
Tariffs on Chinese imports, multinational consolidation, and how all that affects our local ag economy. More with John Hennepin, owner of Munson Hybrids here in Galesburg, when Galesburg Live returns on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Welcome back to Galesburg Live. I'm Chris Poston. We take a couple hours every Saturday morning to welcome in interesting guests from local organizations and businesses that impact our community. We have two family-owned businesses represented today. Just after 8 o'clock, our guests will be Sarah Yem and Michelle Batson from Yem Auto Group here in Galesburg. Well-known and respected auto dealer group here in Galesburg. We'll go all the way back to the beginning, back in the 60s, how they've grown over these past decades, and where they're going in the future. But right now, we're continuing our conversation talking about one of the largest industries here in our area, and that's agriculture. They've been partnering with local farmers for 85 years now, and for the last 20 years under the leadership of John Hennepin, owner of Munson Hybrids here in Galesburg. John, it's great to have you here on Galesburg Live again.
Thank you, Chris.
So we're going to talk about what's going on kind of in the state of the ag industry nationally, around the world, actually.
Sure.
And one of the big things, you wanted to talk about some of the trade things that are going on, the tariffs and more. So that's really affecting, hard to believe, but something like that internationally is going to affect the local farmer right here.
You betcha. You know, we hear about all the tariffs with China in particular. And, of course, China is a huge importer of U.S. soybeans. And also a huge importer of U.S. pork. And so when you think about the soybean crop, obviously a lot of ours from this area go down the Mississippi River and go to China. And so these tariffs are going to force China to buy their beans someplace else. That, of course, is going to be South America. We're in a very much a global market. So, you know, they're going to go to South America and buy those beans, or they'll transship them, so to speak, and that we'll sell, you know, an intermediary country will buy them, and then China will buy them from them. But it's put pressure on the price of beans.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you think, you know, pro or con or whatever your stance is, it has put pressure on the price of beans. And so it's affected our local growers just in what price they can receive. Now, there's only so many beans grown in the U.S. and in the world.
Yeah.
China's probably still going to import the same number of beans. So I think overall that demand is going to be there. It's just how it's going to get from the U.S. through the channels, either to China or to the other countries that were buying South American beans that now are going to go to China.
Yeah.
So I think that the pile will disappear at about the same rate, but it's just how it's going to affect the price to the U.S. grower is probably the big thing. And then the other piece is if South American growers are realizing maybe a little higher price, they may push more acres into production of soybeans, creates a bigger pile next year, which reduces prices more for U.S. growers.
Sure. So where did this all come about? I mean, take us back. Where did all these higher taxes, tariffs come from?
President Trump has, you know, entered into this quote-unquote trade war with China over what they're doing on imports coming into the U.S. And, you know, I don't want to pretend to understand all the things that are behind it. We just know what we're dealing
with. He's trying to negotiate more money for us. He's trying to make us more money. He's trying to make us more money.
So he's trying to protect the U.S., you know, what we're importing and making sure that we're not being taken advantage of.
Right.
Part of that is punishing them by making them pay more for our products. And if you're a consumer, on one side, it's good because maybe products will be cheaper coming in and you can buy a broom cheaper, you know, because of this. But if you're a trade partner that's exporting like agriculture does, it's kind of bad when all of a sudden now you have a 10-20% tariff on your product going into your biggest customer.
Yeah. And so they're kind of calling his bluff and they're just going to go somewhere else and buy it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're the only supplier.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the only supplier, you can kind of dictate price, but there are other places they can go and buy it. And so they will get their soybeans somewhere. You know, and on the pork side, that, you know, that obviously affects pork growers directly.
Yeah.
But it also then affects corn and soybean growers because pigs eat corn and soybeans.
Right.
So if, you know, producers are losing, one number I heard was like $7 a head that the tariff is costing them.
Oh, wow.
Are they going to roll back production, which rolls back consumption of corn and soybeans feeding those pigs? And then that affects our corn and soybean growers because, again, there's a bigger pile with less demand. So, you know, prices may be compressed because of that.
Where do you see this going? I mean, do you see this just – do you see Trump finally saying, okay, all right, you call my bluff. We're sorry.
I'm not sure that he's going to allow anybody to say that they called his bluff. But I think that, you know, eventually there'll be some negotiation reached. You know, some agreement will be made that – we'll kind of take these tariffs off the table. I don't know if that's 6 days, 6 months, or six years from now. And we may reach a new norm in trade relations somehow, some way. But what that's going to look like, I think, is really unpredictable
definitely
above my pay grade.
The other, the cost of steel is affecting.
Yeah, you know, people, you don't think about that and whether that's going to, you know, if we're putting some tariffs on the steel coming in from them, that affects our cost as far as how we can make products here. Tractors have a lot of steel in them.
Yeah.
You know, and so if steel becomes more expensive because we aren't importing it from China or have a tariff on it, then that's going to make the cost of goods higher on tractors, implements, those types of things.
Mm-hmm. And is that kind of the same deal? The tariffs on steel, it's the same?
Yeah, they're dumping steel on the market, you know, and they're selling it to us cheaper than our mills can produce steel.
Yeah.
So trying to protect the steel workers, they're putting the tariff on it, but that then raises the price of goods that require steel.
Sure.
And agriculture is a big user of steel products.
So what's the independent seed dealer, seed company, what do you do with all this coming at you?
You know, I think we have to understand what's going on. We have to be able to talk with our customers about it and understand the pressures that it puts on them and how that can affect us, you know, in the long run with their ability to pay for seed and to look at what they want to buy in their seed choices. You know, are they going to want to reduce price by buying less technology in the seed? That lets an independent maybe in a different space because we aren't making all of our money selling the technologies that maybe a big company is. You know, it's not our technology. They want to make money on technology. We're willing to make money on every bag that we sell. So we have a full line of conventional hybrids with no technology that would be the lowest cost.
Yeah.
And then we can step it up to a double pro, smart stack, and other options that, you know, gives us the ability that maybe a large company doesn't have because they're really tied into the technology and the traits.
Sure.
So, you know, we need to be positioned to be able to fill the needs that the farmer has based on what these economic conditions do to them.
Yeah. John Hennefit is the owner of Munson Hybrids here in Galesburg, our guest today on Galesburg Live, and we're talking about some of the international issues that are affecting farmers right here locally. And one of the biggest in the news as far as ag industry is the acquisition of Monsanto by Bayer. And it's not totally through yet, but...
Yeah, there's just a couple of stories out here the last couple of days that the Department of Justice has kind of cleared the way and had, you know, had said that, you know, it hasn't been approved by them, but there's no reason why they won't approve it,
yeah,
so to speak. You know, I always like these that it's reported by somebody who doesn't have authority to report on it, so they don't want to give their name. But, you know, according to source close, you know, they without authority. But, yeah, you know, I think that it's going to go through.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, from my perspective, when I step back and look at it, at the grower level, I'm not sure that we're going to see a lot of reduction in competition. You know, I think that the products are still going to come out. I think that there's, you know, those big three, now big four maybe, are going to be competing just as fiercely as they always have, whether there's four or six of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, at that high level, it's going to remain pretty darn competitive. You know, looking forward, can there be another round of consolidations 5 years down the road? I'm not sure there can be, because then I think it would be getting too concentrated in too few hands.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bayer is having to spin off some of their primary ag things, you know, the Liberty Link soybeans and the Liberty Link technology and their cotton and canola and vegetable crops. And Monsanto's having to divest some of the things to make this whole thing go through.
I see. Okay.
So, you know, it's not like some of those things going to BASF are going to bring BASF into a competitive place,
yeah,
in the seed industry that they haven't been before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're kind of bringing in a whole new competition level on the seed side of it because they're bringing in some new players that haven't been present. So,
sure,
you know, I think that from that overarching, you know, multinational level, competition is still going to be pretty fierce.
Sure.
You know, the consolidation that's happening below that and on a more local level is probably more of a concern to me, in that, you know, you look at the ag supplier picture now compared to what it was 5 years ago. Where could you go and buy your fertilizer, herbicides, insecticides, custom application, those types of things? Where could you go 5 years ago that you can't go now? And you start looking at some of the independent suppliers, and they've been bought by the other large suppliers in the area. You know, and we're very fortunate to have really good suppliers, really good people. You know, I think that any of the people that you deal with are going to provide good service, but there are just fewer of them.
Right.
And, You know, so that's getting more and more concentrated. And will how may that change some of those relationships in the future? And you know, the competition on that level is going to change.
So you're saying that your local seedsman that you've dealt with for many, many years might not be.
Well, and I think there's still a big number of independent seed companies that service this area.
Yeah.
So on the seed side, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with where we're at. You know, I'd like them to all buy from Munson, but I understand, you know, buy from independent companies, you know, when you have those relationships is fine. But if you're a grower that, excuse me, doesn't apply your own herbicides, and previously you maybe had three or four options of who you could go to have you do that work.
Yeah.
You probably worked with one primarily, but there were options out there and maybe some pricing things and competition trying to get your business. Well, now that independent you worked with 5 years ago has been bought by one of the other suppliers. So now there's one less, and then another independent in the area was bought by a different supplier, or the local co-op has been bought by a bigger co-op. Mm. So there's just less opportunities or less options, I think, for some of the competition that we saw on a more local level.
John Henenfant, owner of Munson Hybrids here in Galesburg, is our guest. We'll have more about the local impact of multinational consolidation and shaving your head for child cancer research when Galesburg Live returns on 93.7 FM at 1400 AM WGIL. Welcome back to Galesburg Live. I'm Chris Poston. Just after 8 o'clock, we welcome in another family-owned business, Sarah Yem, and Michelle Batson from Yem Auto Group here in Galesburg will be our guests. But getting back to our conversation about the impact on local agriculture, good friend to WGIL and the community, John Henenfant, owner of Munson Hybrids here in Galesburg.
I always enjoy coming and visiting with you, Chris.
As we get ready to wrap up our time, we're continuing talking about this the merger with a lot of the consolidation in the area, the big one, of course, Bayer and Monsanto, and how it affects locally here. And you were saying that you're not as concerned about the multinational consolidation. You're more of the regional consolidation.
Yes.
And about how that's less and less competition, you know, not on the seed side, but.
Yeah. You know, and you stop and think about, you know, maybe an analogy would be we've got five grocery stores in town. So if one grocery store buys another one, now there's only four grocery stores.
Yeah.
And if another two of those merge, now there's only three grocery stores. So pretty soon there's not as much competition for your business. And how does that affect prices? And, you know, trying to put that on a consumer level and how that affects growers when there's only two grocery stores, so to speak, to go and buy your chemicals or fertilizer and so on. There's always the internet and there's a lot more purchasing being done online, and growers can buy herbicides from anywhere and they can be shipped in. So, I mean, it's the Amazon and of the seed world is out there. I mean, you can buy them online.
Yeah.
But if you want service, if you need support with that, that's where the competition gets a little tight and
a little
bit shorter.
Well, I was talking to another independent seed dealer, Joe Mershman mm-hmm, Seeds.
Sure.
He was talking about how this merger of, or this, you know, Bayer buying Monsanto is actually going to help independent seed. It's you're going to see a growth for independent seed dealers of 20-30% over the next few years. That's exciting.
That is exciting, and Joe's a good friend, and we've had a long relationship
And
so, you know, we really value Joe's opinion and his insight, and that's very true. I think that these opportunities, the Bayer Monsanto thing, opens up a lot of opportunities for us. You know, there's a lot more technology competition now than what there was, because there's some new players coming in with some new technologies that maybe give us a different avenue besides going through a Monsanto Bayer situation. So, you know, I think there are great opportunities for independent seed companies to grow. We have to do things right.
Yes.
We have to have good products, and we have to have what the grower wants.
Yeah.
But there's a great opportunity, I think. And as far as yield performance and those things, we don't have to take a backseat to anybody on that.
Yes, yes. And I think it's still, you know, when you get down to it, farming is still a relationship business. And when they talk about all the big corporate buyouts and all this stuff, boy, what an advantage that the local seed dealers have with that personal relationship, that hometown service that you guys, seed dealers like you guys provide.
That's very true. You know, we've always kind of positioned ourselves that, you know, we're kind of the one, we hear all the stories from all the technology providers, all the big corporations. We hear all their spin on everything. And I guess we try to bring that all in and sort out fact and fiction and kind of come up with maybe where the real picture is in the middle someplace.
Yeah.
And be able to present that to our growers so that they're not getting just one side of the story.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, a lot of independent companies try to put themselves in that place so that we can be kind of that reasonable sounding board for the grower that doesn't really trust, doesn't really believe everything that the large company's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, they just don't know, does it really make sense?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've been able to be in that situation where we've heard the stories from all the multinationals about, well, they said this, but they say, no, it's not like that. And so we put ourselves in the middle and try to present that to our growers so that they get a more true picture of what's going on.
And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a partner to help them. Well, let's get down to it. Help them save time and make more money.
You betcha.
Be more profitable.
That's right. That's what growers are looking for is profitability. And in these times, it's a little bit tougher. And anything that they can do to get a bit of a leg up and to help them become better growers, better producers, more efficient, they're looking for those things.
That's right. You know? So if a grower out there is, we're talking with John Hennepin, owner of Munson Hybrids here in Galesburg. If a grower out there is interested in talking to you, one of your seedsmen, how can they get in touch with you? Just
they can call 888-813-7333. That's our toll-free number to reach our office. And the girls out there that answer the phone will get you in contact with the right people.
Yeah.
You can call and ask for me.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's one nice thing about an independent company. Usually you can call the office and talk to the owner.
Yeah, yeah.
And for some growers, that's important. And it's important for me to get to talk to people, too, so I know what's going on out in the country.
Absolutely. And your website, Munson Hybrids?
MunsonHybrids.com.
Okay, great.
So, yeah.
We're going to shift gears a little bit, and I didn't say we're going to talk about this, John, but I want to talk a little bit about, you guys are such a huge part of our community, and you're involved in a lot of charitable things, and you support a lot of different causes. And I didn't know if you wanted to talk about this. This was kind of fun. John was involved in a benefit, kind of a charity event here recently, and you actually sent me a text about it when I was talking about it on the air on our sister station.
Yeah.
And maybe you want to share a little bit about that.
Sure, sure. A friend of mine, Mark Craddy, organized the event, and he was involved in it in Peoria a year ago and thought we should bring it to Galesburg.
Yeah.
And it's a benefit for St. Baldrick's Foundation, and they do children's cancer research. That's all that they work on is children's cancer. And so their events are fundraising events, and the idea is that you shave your head.
Yeah.
St. Baldrick's. So Mark decided he's going to do it, and I checked with the powers to be, and that I talked to Holly and said, is it okay if I shave my head? You know, there was a little trepidation there, but she said, hey, it'll grow back, which it's grown back.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, on March 3rd was the date of the event, and so I had contacted a lot of people and got some pledges together. So 3 o'clock on March 3rd, my hair all went away. And
they did this over at
Sidetracks
in downtown Galesburg.
Right here in downtown. And I had told a few people that, you know, for the right money, my eyebrows could be shaved. some people wanted to shave my mustache and beard, but I said, no, that's the nose is the limit. Nothing below the nose.
Yes.
So got there, and the people who were interested in shaving my eyebrows were there. And so I started a little bit of an auction, you know, and good friend Keith, he bought my eyebrows for $250.
He bought your eyebrows.
He bought my eyebrows. So after my head was all shaved and that was done, she was getting ready to start on my eyebrows, and Keith came up and gave me clemency. Well, my eyebrows. Gave my eyebrows clemency that he wasn't going to make me have them shaved.
Oh, wow.
And so the contending bidders, which happened to be my daughter and nieces and nephews,
yeah.
I turned to them and said, well, that means they could be sold again. So if you guys outbid Keith's $250, you can shave them.
Yeah.
And so they came up with $260, and they wanted to shave them. I was going to shave them with a one guard on, so there'd be a little bit there.
At least a little bit of eyebrows there.
Well, yeah. There was a little miscommunication on their part in not hearing what I meant. And so they thought they were going to get to shave them for $260 with no guard. And I said,
oh, boy.
No. I said, so they offered another $40 to get it to $300. So my eyebrows apparently are worth $550.
Wow, I didn't realize that eyebrows went for that
and much. They grow faster.
They
than
sure
they do.
They look great.
Yeah, they're actually about ready to need to trim them a little bit again. So,
how much money did they end up raising from this particular event?
I think we're somewhere north of $9,000.
Wow.
So yeah, the community really did a great job, and you know, it's all goes back to the work that Mark did, and then of course the great support that we all had. All of the people who had their heads shaved. Had from their friends, family, co-workers, and whatnot.
John, thank you. So it's always a pleasure to have you here on Galesburg Live. Can't wait for your next visit.
It's always fun.
Yeah, right. So come back and see us again real soon.
I sure will.
And again, if anybody has any questions for John, call him out at Munson High.
Yeah, if there's something that you wonder about in agriculture that you just don't quite understand or have a question what's going on, don't hesitate to call. I'm always happy to ask. And if you have a service club that you'd like a speaker, I can talk about a lot of stuff for a while anyway.
He would be a great choice for a speaker. Thanks, John.
You bet. Thank you, Chris.
Once again, John Hennenfen, owner of Munson Hybrids here in Galesburg. In the next hour, another family-owned business to be featured on Galesburg Live. Sarah Yem and Michelle Batson from Yem Auto Group will be our guests when we return on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.